Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manateechi Ministries. Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about the law of the Spirit. Amen. The law of the Spirit. And we're going to start, amen, with the word of the Lord is the law of the Spirit. Father God, I thank you for this word that you've given me today. God, I thank you for feeding your people and feeding me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory and I give you praise. I ask you to bless this message, bless this ministry, and bless the hearers of the word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we give you glory and we give you praise. All the glory belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. We're coming to you tonight. Our main scripture, the first scripture that we're going to talk about is in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. But we're talking about the word of the Lord is the law of the Spirit. And we're always going to talk about favor because that's something that God has really been dealing with me about. So we're going to look at favor in a lot of different aspects because favor just means pleasing God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But right now we're going to turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. We're going to start in verse 1 and read on down. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 8 in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise God. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit, there is a law of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because, verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we're talking about the law of God tonight. Verse 7 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Why is the carnal mind enmity against God? The Bible says, because it is not subject to the law of God. And that's what we're talking about tonight. The law of the Spirit, or the law of God. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So therefore, the Bible says in verse 8, they that are in the flesh, hallelujah, cannot please God. Remember, we're talking about favor. If you want to learn how to get favor, you got to learn how to please God. And the Bible says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. They that are carnal minded cannot please God. Amen. But the Bible says in verse 9 of this same chapter, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We're talking about the law of God, the law of the Spirit. Amen. The Bible says you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. A lot of you guys probably think of, when you think about the law, you think about the Old Testament, you think about the Ten Commandments. Amen. But I want you to know that even though the Ten Commandments, Jesus said, I did not come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill the law. God's kingdom is established upon principles and upon certain laws. Amen. If we did not have law, there would be so much chaos in the world. God's kingdom is established upon law. So there is a law of the Spirit. Amen. But the Bible says you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. Let's talk about this for a minute. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. We're talking about the favor of God tonight, which means pleasing God. Because when you please God, the Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, amen, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Back to Romans chapter 8, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of the Spirit? one definition of this word law. Let's look at the word law first. It means a law or a rule that produces a state that is approved of God. Hallelujah. So when we obey the law of the Spirit, we obey the laws of God, that means that we are putting ourselves into a state that produces a state. We are producing a state in our lives where we are approved of God and therefore have the favor of God on our lives. And this is shown throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Favor happens when we are in a state that is approved by God. So if we follow the law of the Spirit, since we are not under the Old Testament law anymore, that does not mean we are not under law. Paul tells us we are under the law of the Spirit in verse 2. Now, God is not a God, and I said this before, and I need to say it again. God is not a God of chaos. God is not the God of confusion. The Bible says where envy and confusion is, there is every evil work. God is not in that. God is not a God of chaos. God is not a God of confusion. What better way to get rid of chaos than to have laws in effect? God set up laws so there would be laws and there would not be chaos and we would not have all types of violence, which we're going to talk about in Genesis next. Now, let's turn over to Genesis chapter 6. We're talking about the flood, amen. And the Bible says that God told Noah to build an ark. We all know that story. But let's skip down to verse 17 in Genesis chapter 6. The Bible says, behold, I, even I, praise the Lord, just want to check my volume here. The Bible says, I, even I, in verse 17, bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Now, what could cause God to want to destroy mankind that he loves so much that we were made in his image? He said, I'm going to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life. So he was talking about everything in the animal kingdom and everything in the mankind, in man, and every man. So he said, from under heaven and everything that is in the earth shall die through the flood. He said, but with thee, talking about Noah, will I establish my covenant or my promise. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. That was eight people. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. That was eight people. The Bible says, and bring of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort. But the Bible says, if you skip down to verse 22, it says, this Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So Noah was a man, the Bible said, that obeyed God. Amen. He knew the law of God. He feared God. And he obeyed God. Amen. Getting back into the lesson, we already said God is not a God of chaos. Here we see that God has had intentions on destroying all mankind and animals from off the earth, wherein is the breath of life. The reason he was doing this is described in verse 11. The Bible says the earth also was corrupt before God. Now, why was the earth corrupt? The verse tells you, and the earth was filled with violence. Amen. So when you don't have law, you have chaos, and the earth was filled with violence. There was nobody that was keeping the law of God. The earth was filled with violence. No one kept the law, and God said, I will destroy man. Because man was a truth breaker. Man was a law breaker. Man was violent. Man was doing whatever we wanted to do. There was no law before their eyes. There was no fear of God. God said, I'm going to destroy man from off the earth because no one kept the law. The earth was filled with violence, the Bible says. Now, back in Romans 8, chapter 2, the Bible says, for the law of the Spirit, and this really got to me because I had never thought about the law of the Spirit before. The Bible says in Romans 8 and 2, the law of the Spirit of life, that means if you walk in the Spirit, you shall also walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the Bible says. So the law of the Spirit leads to eternal life, but is in Christ Jesus, Paul says. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free, hallelujah, from the law of sin and death. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, if you keep on reading down in verse 28, I'm going to just skip down there for time because we don't have, a lot of time to go through everything. But in 8 and 28, Paul says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Amen. But the verse that I'm looking for is on down a little bit farther, and it says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long and are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now there's another scripture that Paul says, O wretched man that I am, you know, he said, when I want to do good, evil is always present. I do the things that I don't want to do. Amen. So he's talking about the flesh. Amen. Even Paul was talking about the temptation of the flesh and doing evil. When he wanted to do good, evil was always present. So the law of the spirit of life is in Christ Jesus. This law equals that means that doing that which pleases God, and the Spirit here is the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God, proving that God has a law that we must follow, and it is the law of the Spirit. Amen. This law leads to life, and it is in Christ Jesus. Next, the law of the Spirit is found in Christ Jesus or in the Word of God, because Jesus, the Bible says, in St. John 1:1-18, but the key verse is verse 14. So let's turn over there real quick. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, speaking about Jesus Christ, we shall see. But all things were made by him. Jesus Christ made everything. Without him was not anything made that was made, because the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. Remember, God spoke the Word, which Jesus Christ is the Word of God. God spoke the Word, and the worlds were made. Amen. Everything that is made were made by things that we do not see. But the Bible says all things were made by him, speaking of Jesus Christ, and without him was not anything made that was made. So in him was life. Remember we said the law of the Spirit is life in Christ. The Bible says in him was life, eternal life, and this life was the light of men. Sometimes you can look at a person not saved and you don't see the life. You don't see any life in them. All you see, amen, is dead. Can these dry bones live, the Bible says, and over in Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? The Bible says in Jesus, outside of Jesus Christ, there is no life. But the Bible says in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, because its deeds were evil, another scripture says. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Your witness is supposed to bring man to Christ, to bring men to believe, to be believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is what a true witness does. Now, even John said he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, talking about Jesus. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, talking about Jesus, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We're talking about the law of God in Christ Jesus, saints. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. Now we're establishing a law here. Even to them that believe on his name, that is a spiritual law. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If you believe on him, the Bible says, you shall receive and you shall become a son of the living God, even to them that believe on his name, speaking of Jesus. Now, another law of the Spirit is in John 1:13. The Bible says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but not of the will of man, but of God. So when you are born again, you're not born again by blood, by the will of the blood, by the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but you are born again of God. That's why the Bible says when Jesus got his new body and they stabbed him, It was no blood, amen. When he got his new body, he did not, the Bible says, a spirit. Jesus said when he ate something after he got his resurrected body, he said, a spirit have not flesh and bone. He did not say flesh and blood because there's no blood in the new body. So you were not born of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. That is a spiritual principle. And the Bible says in verse 14, and this is one of our key verses, the Word, talking about Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Excuse me. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now the Bible says in verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. Now listen to this in verse 17. Remember we're talking about the law of the Spirit. In verse 17 in John chapter 1, the Bible says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Not eliminating the law, but adding to it. Amen. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he have declared him. Amen. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. So in verse 18 he said, no man have seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he have declared him. So here we see the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, and that law means pleasing God, and the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. This law leads to life is in Christ Jesus. Now, next, the law of the Spirit. Now, we talked about the law of the Spirit being found in Christ Jesus. Let's turn over to, we read John chapter 1. Let's turn over to Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. We're going to talk again some more about this law of the Spirit and how we can be blessed and find favor with God. The Bible says, we're talking about Daniel. Let's start in verse 1 in chapter 6. The Bible says it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. All of these three, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel, verse 3, was preferred above the presidents and princes, so he had favor on his life, because an excellent spirit was found in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, listen to this, verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But, the Bible says, they could find no occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So here we see, Daniel was a perfect man. He was faithful. He was in every area. The Bible says he was impeccable. There was no area. He did not have any error in his life, in any area of his life. He was a man that you could put up and say, this man obeys the law. But he was faithful to God. So they said, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel. Remember, they were looking for something to accuse him of. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Why? Because they knew that Daniel was going to obey God no matter what. Now, these men could find no fault in Daniel except concerning the law of his God, which means Daniel was following the law of his God faithfully day and night. Now, do you know this is why Daniel obtained favor of God in every situation that he encountered? He obtained favor because he was following the law of his God. I'm trying to show you the relationship between following the law, the word of God, the law of God in Jesus Christ, and obtaining favor in every situation in your life. Another translation compares the law of his God, and it says that this means to counsel plans and purposes of his God. So the enemy, the Bible says, wants to come and cancel the plans and the purposes of God in your life. In other words, because that's translation, law of his God was also meant to cancel plans and purposes of his God. Daniel wanted to fulfill the plans and the purposes of God in his life. That is why he obtained favor. The favor of God is going to be on you when you set your mind to seek God and to seek his plans and purposes for your life. Now, the enemy desires to stop that from happening in your life. And the reason why he desires to cancel the plans and the counsel and purposes of God for our lives is because if he can get us to miss the mark concerning the plan of God for our life, then we will be less effective in the earth. Now, Jesus told Peter like this in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. I'm going to turn over there real quick. That's Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Jesus told Peter, Satan, he says, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Remember the Bible said Daniel was faithful in all things. Well, here Jesus is telling Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Your faith is what brings you favor. The Bible says that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, then you can strengthen the brethren. That's what Jesus was saying. Okay, so going back into the word, the message tonight, Satan desires to cancel the plans, the counsel, and the purposes of God for our lives if he can get us to miss the mark. Because without the plans and purposes of our God being met, we have less influence in the earth and effect on the kingdom. We have less of an effect on the kingdom of God and God's will being done in the earth. We can influence kings and queens when we work in our gift. We can affect the kingdom of God on earth when we work in our purposes that God have designed. He said they are called according to his purpose. Amen. All things work together for good to them that are called according to the purposes of God. Still speaking about the plans of God and God's will being carried out in the earth. Remember in the Lord's Prayer, the Lord said, pray that the will of God would be done in the earth. Amen. And that's carrying out the plans and purposes of God. Amen. And the only way you can do that is by working your gift. Praise the Lord. And being lining yourself up with the will of God. Now we're going to start looking at the book of Ezra, because the book of Ezra has a lot to say about the law of God. And we're going to go to chapter 7. So let's turn over to Ezra chapter 7 real quick. I'm going to give you a second to find it. And in Ezra chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 12. So let's start in verse 12. And the Bible says, Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven. So here we see that Ezra was a scribe. He wrote the law of God, the God of heaven, and he said, perfect peace and at such a time. So here we see the king, Artaxerxes, talking to Ezra, the priest and the scribe of the law of God, of the God of heaven. I have to say that because they had a lot of false gods. In verse 13, I make a decree, this is the king talking, that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. So he released all the people of Israel to go up to Jerusalem with Ezra. He said, for as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God which is in thine hand. So the king was giving him permission to go according to the law of his God that he had written in his hand. and to carry, now listen to this, and to, now listen to what he's telling Ezra to do. He said, and to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. So here the king was saying, I'm going to give you silver and gold to accomplish the purposes of God in the earth, that you can do the will of God. Ezra was carrying the king's silver and gold. Verse 16, he said, and not only the king's, what I've given you, or I have freely given unto the God of Israel, he said, but I'm going to give you all the silver and gold that you can find in all the provinces of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of their God that is in Jerusalem. So not only am I going to give you the silver and gold that I have given you, but I'm going to give you all of the silver and gold that you can find in all of Babylon. Now, we know Babylon was the wealthiest city of the ancient time in the East. So he said, I'm going to give you all of the wealth that you can find in the province of Babylon. Verse 17, that you mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God that is in Jerusalem. So he told him to go and buy speedily, and that means make haste quickly with the money, the bulls, the rams, the lambs, the meat offering. So he wanted them to offer unto God. He wanted them to buy the best of the best to offer unto God. And he said, whatsoever shall seem good to you and to your brethren to do with the rest of the silver and gold, after do that after the will of your God. So after you have offered, after you have bought the best bullocks, the best rams, the best lambs that money can buy, and you offered your meat offerings and your drink offerings upon the altar of the house of your God in Jerusalem, whatever is left, I want you to do what seemeth good with to you. Amen. So Ezra had an overabundance of money. Amen. Because he had the favor of God and he was walking in the purposes and counsel of God. Now, verse 19, the vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, these thou deliver before the God of Jerusalem, and whatsoever more shall be needful. This is verse 20. Listen to this, saints. He said, whatsoever more that you need for the house of God, and this is speaking to the ministers tonight. He said, those, if you need something to do the work of God, for the house of God, which you shall have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. So not only am I giving you silver and gold to go up, take up to Jerusalem, I'm also giving you all the silver and gold that's in Babylon. I want you to make offerings unto your God. I want you to do whatever is left over. I want you to use whatever you want to do with it. Amen. He said, and if that's not enough, whatever more that you need, I'm going to give it to you out of the treasure of my own house. Amen. So this is definitely speaking on the favor. Those of you that are in ministry, amen, that feel like giving up, amen, I want you to know, don't give up, because God is getting ready to move, amen, for you and give you favor. He said, all the silver and gold that you can find in Babylon, which was the richest city of that time, and remember now, the children of Israel were taken into captivity during the Babylonian exile. So this shows that not only will God restore, but he will restore with everything that was lost plus more. The children of Israel received back more than they lost and all the gold and silver in the land of Babylon. And the purpose of that money was that they would give in the offerings. Now, the leaders in ministry, I want you to know, if you are experiencing lack or not enough, this message is for you. God wants you to know that he is providing for his body and for his house. He will cause men to give unto the work of the Lord. He will cause men to give into the work of the Lord, because the part that blessed me is he said, after you have done all of this, whatever is left over, you can do whatever you seem of good to you. Amen. So that's an overabundance. Praise the Lord. In verse 22, he said, 100 talents of silver and 100 measures of wheat and 100 baths of wine and 100 baths of oil and salt without measure or unlimited. Amen. So this is the best time to be in ministry. A lot of you, God has shown me, were about to give up, to throw in the towel. You were frustrated and depressed about the work of the ministry. I want to exhort you tonight to be encouraged. God is doing a new thing on the earth, in the earth, whereof we are most glad. In verse 24, he said, I want to certify you concerning the priests and the Levites, the singers, the porters, the Nethinims, and the ministers of the house of God, that it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, custom upon them. Amen. So God is giving you favor. Amen. In verse 26, he said, whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or banishment or confiscation of goods or to imprisonment. So Ezra did not forget God. In verse 27 and 28, he said, blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which have put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and have extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And the Bible says, and I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. So God is going to strengthen you tonight, give you favor. And he said, I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. Closing in Romans 8 and 2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. And as I close, I want to give you Proverbs 18 and 16. Your gift shall make room for you. And that means to enlarge, to be widened, or to be enlarged. Your gift shall make room for you and bring you before a great man. Your gift is what gives you favor with men. Praise the Lord. As I close tonight, I want to say God bless you. Thank you for listening. And I pray that you got received a blessing from this word. Good night.